We have all been there, right? I was not killing it right then, about to trip over this cable. We've all felt like we're killing it. We got out of bed. We put our flyest clothes on. The world is welcome for our appearance. We're killing it. Then something goes wrong. You have a wardrobe malfunction. Something breaks, and you're not killing it anymore. So the truth is, instead of killing it, we should be killing it. The thing that makes us feel that way, and that is pride. And so we're not talking about the pride that you have in your children. We're talking about the pride that causes you to yell at your children when they're not performing well enough on the ball field, from the stands. Like as if, because you weren't very good when you were younger, like this is going to redeem your past. Like, oh, the lineage is going to live on. They're going to be an awesome athlete, right? You've been there. You've seen it. You might have been them. It's the pride that's not in the blessings in your life that you're proud of those things. It's the blessings in your life that you're proud of because it's better than other people's. That you can look at their blessings and go, oh, I'm better than them because I have this, the newer car, the newer iPhone, the newer heel, the newer model, the newer whatever it may be. It's that kind of pride. We're talking about the pride that blows you up, pushes people out, shuts out God, and everybody else, puts you on an island. It keeps you from saying what needs to be said, from hearing what needs to be heard, so you can better yourself. And it's, as we talked about last week, it's one of those things that 3P people struggle with. When you have prestige, power, or possessions. We talked about how you deal with those things. And if you remember, we repeated it many times, read it together. The Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. So today, we're finishing off the series, and this is a good one today. This is a real good one. If you've missed any of the series, we put that slide up real quick. If you've missed any of this, go back and listen to it. Make time this week to listen to the other two sermons. If we put that slide up, it's messages. It's going to be Village, there it is, villageheights.church/messages. You will find every message that we've preached, every series that we've done right there. Go back and listen to this whole series, Killing It. It will help you. It helped me. It's changed me in a great way. So today I want to talk to you about something that it hits close to home for all of us. Everybody deals with this. And it's talking about those who have the struggle of dealing with an appetite for being known. So in our culture, in our day and age, we have something that's called hashtag InstaFamous, right? And if you don't know what InstaFamous is, it's okay. I'm about to educate you. We put that up. All right. InstaFamous. Thank you, Urban Dictionary. InstaFamous, a person who's famous on the popular app Instagram because they have thousands of followers. Person is usually a pretty girl who posts 1,000 pictures of her face or whatever food she is eating. May include pictures of other people's food. This is the basic definition of what InstaFamous is. Now, if that's not enough for you, let's use it in a sentence. All right, listen. Next slide. That girl's InstaFamous. She's got like 10,000 followers. That's used in a sentence. All right, so if you need further explanation on that, come talk to me after. I'll educate you on what InstaFamous is. We got some people in our church that probably are close to instant famous, if they're not, and they'll educate you. And it's not a bad thing, you know? But being InstaFamous, it's a real thing. It's something our culture desires and wants. We want to be friended. We want to be followed. We want to be liked. We want to be mentioned. We want to be shared, we want to be recognized, admired, sought after. We want to be envied. This appetite for being known makes you do crazy things. Have you ever wondered why somebody is a celebrity? There's some celebrity, I'm not going to name any names. There's some celebrities out there that were like, why are they a celebrity? Right? Like, they don't do anything. They don't have this craft or this job or they didn't create a company. They're famous just for no reason. It's probably linked to something that they have given up about themselves, whether it's their body or socially, that has made them famous because it's so crazy and so weird and they just happen to be pretty or handsome that people are interested. So they become famous. And that appetite is so real that before it was just a mistake. Oh, that was an accident. It was a leak. You know, somebody hacked my account and put that out there. It was an accident. But then later on in life, they'll post another one, and they're like, oh, that one was on purpose. It's not enough. They want to be known. There's not enough followers on their Instagram or their Facebook, so they got to do something else crazy, something else weird that somebody else would ever do to get more followers. It's all on purpose, guys. Don't think that these things are accident. See, the truth is, there's a little Lady Gaga in all of us, all right? If you don't know who Lady Gaga is, don't worry about it. She's a little bit of her in you. So we live for the applause, right? That's a song that she wrote and she sang. And if you look at the lyrics, man, it defines our culture. We live for the applause. We want acceptance. We want to be known. We want people to put their hands together for us, to clap, to celebrate who we are. We want to be insta-famous. We started out young. See, growing up, we all lived for the applause of our parents. Some of us got it. Some of us didn't. None of us ever got enough because there's an appetite for it. It's always there. Gage, my 5-year-old son, if you haven't met Gage, you need to. He is a spitfire. You'll never forget him. Awesome kid, very smart, quick wit. He wants to be funny like me. He'll get there someday. But he tries really hard. And you know, if you have a child, a younger child, and this happens, when you're at home and you're just working, doing things, they always want you to see. They want you to watch. Right? They'll be playing on their own. They're like, hey, dad, watch this, dad. I'm like, okay, son. I watch it. I'm like, way to go, bud. Good job. Hey, dad, watch this. Hey, watch this over here. And it's really hard to work at home because I work at home. Really hard to work at home when it's constant. Watch this. And after a while, you know, it's kind of like, okay, and you want to grab me and say, hey, all right, look, you've done the same thing 6 times, right? You've jumped from the couch to a pillow to another pillow and made a great landing. I'm so proud of you. But that's the 6th time you've done it, right? And it's not because of what he's doing. He just wants to be known. He has an appetite for it. He wants to know that he is recognized. It's in us. It's in our blood. It's built in us. And if you're around Gage, he's going to ask you to watch. And you better watch him, okay? You better watch him, okay? Because if you don't, I have to. No, I love him. I love watching him. I'm so proud of him. But it's an appetite for being known. And the thing about the appetite of known, when we feed it, it grows. And it grows. And it grows. It's never full. It's endless. It always wants to be fed. It's that part of us that will never, ever be fully satisfied or finally satisfied. The more friends, more fans, more followers, you gotta have it. The desire grows. This is something you'll never hear from somebody, right? You'll never, they might say it, but it's not really true. But if they're being truthful, you'll never hear this. They'll say things like, I have enough friends, followers, and fans. You ever heard anybody say that? Post it on Facebook. Guys, stop. I have enough friends. No more. All right, we're good. I'm celebrated. You never hear that. You never hear, I don't want to be recognized for anything. I don't care what I've accomplished. I don't care what I've built. I don't want to be recognized for it. You don't really hear that. That doesn't happen. I don't like to see my name in print. You kidding me? People love seeing their name in print. At Gage's elementary school, you could pay the PTA to put your kid's name on the billboard, the digital billboard, going to the school saying, happy birthday, blah, 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 because they love to see their name in print. If you drove by and just randomly saw a billboard with your name on it, man, that would feel good, right? I am acknowledged, finally, for my efforts. I don't care who you are. You will never hear those things. There is no amount of known that will satisfy your appetite to be known for the things that you have determined that you want to be known for. And that's confusing, I'm sorry. Go back and listen to it again. So fortunately for us, for us humans, Christians, is that the writers of the Gospels had enough inspiration and forethought to include a man named John the Baptist in the writings, right? Okay, so the reason I say that is that John the Baptist was beyond instant famous. He was beyond that. He was Instagram before it was Instagram, right? He was a known person. His fame traveled quick. He was beyond insta famous. He was infinite famous. Because it's 2,000 years later, guys, and we still talk about John the Baptist. All right, now, you're like, oh, big deal, whatever. Okay, think about yourself. Do you think 2,000 years from now people are going to talk about you? Nobody raised their hand. 1,000 years from now? 500 years from now? 200 years from now? 100 years from now? 50 years? 20 years? Do you think people will still be talking about you? There's something that we can glean from John the Baptist here, because if you really want to be known, there's some tips to take. There's some tips there. There's an appetite for, there's some tips how to handle that appetite to really be known. We can gain extraordinary, helpful insight. All right, so we're going to be going through the story of Mark here. I mean, going through the story of John. We're going to start in Mark. And so just know that. John was a known person. We are still talking about them, and we're going to go through why. We're going to find out why. So we're beginning in Mark 1, 4 through 5. It's on your Bible app. It's on the screen. Follow along with me. And keep up, please, because this stuff is good. All right. Starts out, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all, catch that word, all of the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, we're not talking about a handful of people that just happened to be by the river. We're saying, hey, this guy's squawking some good stuff. Let's listen to him. No, all the people. This was potentially thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people that made this trip to see this man named John the Baptist. They called him John the Baptist because he coined baptism. Nobody was really doing this before John. But John had some forethought. He knew something was coming and how it needed to be handled. And so he knew baptism was a thing. So he started baptizing. So people come to see him in the thousands and the many. And it wasn't an easy journey. From Jerusalem to the Jordan River, it was a desert, people. It was hard to get there. So they had intention in being there. It came by the multitudes. It was a full day's travel. This wasn't like, hey, we'll get there in the morning. We'll stop and get some brunch somewhere at the Cactus Cafe, and we'll end up over there, and we'll listen to this dude. All right, we'll give him a chance. No. Full day's travel. We're all heading out to hear what this guy had to say. He was insta-famous. He had it going on so much that even the religious leaders had to make the trip to see him. And if the religious leaders, and these are like the political heads of the area, these people were big deals. If they were coming to see you, man, you were really famous. It's like the president going to see, I don't know, a Jay-Z concert. You know, it's kind of like, you're a big deal. If someone this important is coming to see you, they've traveled to come see you. Now, that probably doesn't happen. Jay-Z goes to the White House. I mean, come on, let's be real. Let's be real about that, okay? So, we're going to pick up again. I'm just setting the scene for you. Who is the who's who that has arrived to see John the Baptist? And we continue on. We're going to start again in John. Start in John 1:15. It says, John bore witness about him talking about Jesus, and cried out, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. Let me read that again. He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. Confusing, right? You can imagine what the people were thinking at this time. They just traveled all this way. And this dude said this confusing sentence. They're like, yeah, thanks, John. Thick as mud. Appreciate it, bro. What are we doing here, you know? Tell me some more. So let me tell you, clue you in. When somebody says something that you know is profound, and there's good stuff in there, but you have no idea what they just said, chances are it's next level stuff, okay? Chances are you need to pay attention and listen to what he's saying, because he's going to take you somewhere you haven't been before. And that's what John was doing. So we continue on. In verse 19, and this is the testimony of John, meaning this is everything that made him up. This is who he is. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. Oh, wait, I skipped forward. He confessed that I am not the Christ. It's very profoundness in here. So they ask him who he is. But see, first in Scripture, he ignores them. They come and they say, hey, dude, who are you? Why are you so important? First, he ignores them, but then they ask again, and so he answers this. I am not the Christ, right? This is important stuff that he's saying. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? See, at this point in Scripture, there's a lot of prophecies. See, the prophet Malachi that came before him said that Elijah would appear just before God's next great act in the narrative of Israel. So they were all waiting on this person named Elijah. But they didn't understand it was the essence of Elijah, not the actual person. See, they thought that Elijah was going to come back reincarnate. Like the dude that was way before was going to be here now, and he was going to do the whole thing, overthrow, and Jews are going to celebrate. Yay! You know, they thought that was going to happen. So they're questioning him and says, hey, are you him? So continue on. He said, I am not. And then they said, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? This is the big moment. This is John the Baptist's big moment. He's got all the followers now. Everybody there is to see him. He is known. And they go, who are you then? They want to know. They want to know the known. This is his big moment, his big opportunity to slay him and say, I'm the top dog. I'm the one. Very important people sent from far lands asking, can you imagine if someone very important came to ask you who you are? You'd feel very important. That's what it would be. He said, this is what he said. This was his response. He said, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah has said. In this sentence, he's basically saying, guys, I'm just the road sign. I'm out here being a directional marker. I'm telling you there's something coming. On your road of history, there's something ahead. I'm trying to point you to it. And I'm this crazy dude in the desert that's trying to get your attention to tell you about it by doing this new thing called baptism, saying that your sins can be washed away. I'm here for that. So he answers them. And he says, now that they have been sent from, you know, him knowing they've been sent from the Pharisees, said they asked him, then why are you baptizing? If you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Mysterious. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He's saying, I know what I'm doing right now, but there's someone among you right now that is coming that I am not even fit. You think I'm important? Man, you got to meet this person. I can't even untie his sandal. I'm not fit to do that. So they are above and beyond. So, and it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. So if in the distance, through the multitudes and thousands, he saw Jesus coming. And this is what he said. Next day he saw Jesus, he said, behold. What does the sign do? Look, hey, look over here. Behold, everybody pay attention. Something important has happened. This is him being a directional marker. He pointed. That's what they do. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He pointed it out. He said, here he is. And then continue on in verse 35. It says, the next day again, John was standing with two disciples. John's disciples. His disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, guys, look again. I said it yesterday. I'm pointing. I'm being the directional marker. Look who it is. He said, behold again. Directional mark again. And he says, the Lamb of God. Excited. Exclamation point. The Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So let me point out what's happened here. You got John the Baptist, who is insta-famous. All these people, thousands of people have come to see him. Important people have come to see him. And he's saying, hey, look, this is the one who really matters. And John's posse, his followers, ride to Ladai, heard him say this and say, see ya, John. I'm going with that guy. And he leaves. So there's a situation here. There's something that happens because of this moment. And we're going to jump over to John 3. See, JTB's fan base, headquarters, was freaking out. John the Baptist, if you didn't catch that. Come on, I told you, you got to keep up, all right? John the Baptist, JTB, all right. That's what they called him in his club. y'all got me all distracted, man. Look what you did. So they were worried. They came to his aid. Alarms were going off. They're saying, we're losing followers. They were checking the Instagram page, and the number was going down. What's going on? Don't they know who he is? So this is where we're going to pick up in John 3. They came to comfort him. John 3, 26 to 28, it says, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, say, hey, you the dude, you the rabbi, he who. I feel like that's the inflection they had when they said this. He who. Hey, my man, he who. Like, who is this dude, right? You're the rabbi. You're the guy. They continue on. He who was with you across the Jordan, to him you bore witness, look. It's like the dude that you made famous, the dude that you called out, look over there what he's doing. Let's check this out. He is baptizing. John, that's your thing, man. You coined this. He's copying you. John Baptist started baptism. Now this dude that just rolled out of nowhere that you gave instant fame to is stealing your gig. That's your stuff. So you can imagine what his followers were feeling. You can imagine what you would feel like. It's something you invented. Somebody was doing when you welcomed them in. There's something that happens here. And then they say all and all, again, all are going to him. He's losing all of his followers, and they're going to follow Jesus. Now, this is huge. Be ready for this. Pay attention. If you have a pen, write this stuff down. Be ready for this. John answered them. He answered his closest followers, his fan base, his headquarters. And he said, I, a person, cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Doesn't this sound familiar? Talk about from last week, you know, they said again, the Most High God rules the kingdom of all mankind and sets over it whom he will. Known is temporary stewardship from God. Being known is temporary, and it's a gift. It's the credit, the recognition, the status, the influence of your gifts that you have been given to you. And you cannot receive them, but only from heaven. That's what John says. The most infamous man in this time, that's what he says. There's a combination of things that roll into this that we have little control over. See, the when you become insta-famous, the where you become insta-famous, the whom of who you were born by that makes you insta-famous, the opportunities that you reach in your life that John the Baptist had, the opportunities he had to become insta-famous were given to him. Even the health that we have, the opportunities, the health of a moment, the health of our bodies to even be someone, to be known, is all a gift. And John the Baptist knew this. And he continued on and says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. My knownness is about his knownness. That's what John the Baptist tells us. Me being known is more about him being known. Me gathering followers, it's more about him getting followers. He must increase, but I must decrease. Those are big words from someone who could have had a lot of pride. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way, meaning that if you came from the top, you should be in the top. If you were born of this world, you should be respecting the top and knowing where you came from. He who comes from heaven is above all. So to be infinite famous and not insta-famous, because insta-famous means you become famous in an instant, but it can leave in an instant. If you want to be known like John the Baptist has been known, if you want the sheer opportunity to be talked about 2,000 years later, remember who it is from and who it is for. Remember who gave you that fame, and remember who the fame is for. Our known is his renown. Your appetite for known will never be satisfied by a number. There is never a max out limit on your Facebook friends list. Sure, you can become a celebrity and everybody has to like you and they can't be friends with you, sure, but there's never a limit. The creators of Facebook would never put a limit on that because they know it's limitless. It's not the numbers, but who you are recognized by. It's one name that matters. It's one name that will satisfy that appetite, that will make you go, I'm not hungry for it anymore. It's a who, not a how many. There's a saying that goes around that and how you keep this kind of in check is this is all God's and he could shut it down at any moment. Your life, this church, everything that we have around us, your talents, your skills, your looks, your health, your opportunities can all be shut down in an instant if he decided to. You don't own it. You don't have it. So when I preach, right, and so being a pastor, and I'm just going to be totally transparent with you guys, being a pastor, people coming to listen to me, I get this mic in my hand, it can feel powerful, right? And I could have pride, and we've seen what that can do to ministers and how it can manipulate and morph them into something that's not what it's supposed to be. And when it comes to preaching, that's one of the big things that we do. It's a big deal to us. And so every time after I preach, I get down, I talk to my staff, and I'm like, give me some critiques. How did I do? What should I not say? What should I not do next time? Because I want to refine what I do here. But really down deep, and anybody that ever preaches, they want to hear, you did a great job. You did awesome. You killed it. You know, my wife, Hannah, she's really good at this. She's really good at celebrating. And even when I've totally messed up, she'll find the bright side of me, and it's an amazing thing. And I really yearn for it. I yearn to be known by my wife. I yearn for that acceptance, that celebration. And so every time after I preach, it's like, it's always in the back of the head and I'm waiting. Sometimes I get in the car. Sometimes if I'm really nervous, I ask her in here. And it's always, baby, you did awesome. You did great. You know, maybe you can work on this, but man, you did great. Man, it feels so good. And when I don't have that, there's been times when Hannah hasn't been here. She's been off preaching somewhere else. And I get off the stage and I'm like, please, somebody help me, you know. Tell me I did good, please. So last year, right before, like a couple weeks before Memorial Day last year, I got a phone call, okay? And that's my cell phone number on the website. Now that my cell phone number is on the website, I should probably get a Google phone. Mark that down. I got a phone call, right? And I get a lot of crazy calls. I get a lot of people wanting things, you know, the advertisements, whatever. And I get this call, and I said, is this Pastor Bill White? And when they say that, I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. What's it going to be? And I said, and they say, oh, hi, yeah, this is he. And they said, oh, great, I got you on the phone. Hey, I am blah, 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 and I am a part of the office of your congresswoman. And I'm like, oh, no, what did I do? I'm in trouble. I knew it. It was like flashbacks, like when I was younger, going to the principal's office. What did I do? You know, it's always in me. And they said, we want you to do something for us. I'm like, okay. And I am I'm not a political person. I try not to get involved. Of course, I have views and I have wants, whatever it may be, but I'm not going to push that on people, okay? So I tried to stay out of stuff like that, and so they said, but no, we want you to do the invocation on Heights Boulevard at the World War II Memorial because we're going to be honoring some veterans. We're going to be giving them, I forget what the award was, but we're going to be awarding them. It's going to be a ceremony. And we are carving out 10 to 15 minutes for you to give the invocation. I'm like, okay, so what kind of crowd are we having? There's like, oh, the news will be there, all these veterans, probably 100 veterans, the people that have almost died for you, for your freedom. They're going to be in uniform. And there's going to be some other government officials. Of course, the congresswoman will be there. And, you know, if you don't, political things are political things. If you don't like Sheila Jackson, that's fine. I've met her in person, sweet lady. But if you don't share her political views, whatever. But she is still the congresswoman. She still represents. She still goes to Washington and hangs out up there. So it's a big deal. This is something that's big. And so, of course, my heart sinks, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it. I'll be there, right? And it's kind of a sore subject with Hannah and I because she's like a little Leslie Knope, if you don't know what that is. You know, watch Parks and Rec. But she loves the political stuff, and she's like, I'm so jealous that you're the one that gets to do this. And so I show up on that day, and I prepare, you know, an invocation. And I speak a little differently than normal pastors do. I probably not what they're expecting. I get too many laughs, probably. And so I'm like, okay, I need to craft this in a way that they think is respectable to the broad. And so Hannah and I worked through it, and I got it together, and I show up, and there are loads of people there in suits. I wore my one suit that's like for marrying and burying people. And I think, in fact, I just did a wedding, and it was like in the hamper, and I like throw it in the dryer, get it, you know, get the wrinkles out of it so I don't look like a, you know, like I don't know what I'm doing. And so I get there, and there's news camera set up. I recognize the news lady that's there. She shook me, hey, thank you, Pastor, for doing this, of course. And all of her her staff is like buzzing around, thanking me for being there. And I'm like, man, you kidding me? I'm like, you must not realize, our website must be really good, because you don't realize that I just started a church. I'm just a little-time pastor, you know, here in the Heights. That's, you know, I'm nothing big. You know, and so I do my invocation, right? I do it, and it's, wow, you probably never saw the movies because they cut that stuff out. So, but I was there. The camera was on me. I know. I saw the red light. It was on. They removed it. I don't know. It was gold. And so, and as I'm talking, you know, there's special things I had to do, and they're like, I mean, when you amen a preacher and you're like, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, you start doing that. And there's like some full gospel people there. And that really revs you up as a minister. You're like, woo, yeah, let's do this, you know. And so I'm just like, I'm getting into it. The congresswoman, Sheila Jackson, standing next to me. And she's like, yes, pastor, yes. And I'm like, whoa, this is great. It's like this high, you know, it's adrenaline. And I'm just like, this has got to go. And so I finish, and I step off, and, you know, she shakes my hand. People take pictures, and I go sit down, and I, like, the first thing I wanted to do was, you know, is turn to Hannah, and Hannah gives me the, great, it was really good. And I'm like, oh, thank God, you know, and you didn't say anything stupid. And so, you know, it's a big deal, right? You know, and I try to downplay it, and the thing that I'm wondering the most in that moment is, like, the person in charge. What did they think? What did the congresswoman think? You know, and I got a brief moment where I got to shake her hand. She said, thank you. And she tells everybody, thank you. I don't think she would say, oh, that was terrible. No, thank you. You know, it wouldn't happen. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what did she think? And so a couple of weeks later, you get something in the mail, and I just happen to have it with me. If you could put that up on the screen. I get this is a real document. I scanned it. This is Certificate of Congressional Recognition presented to Bill White, Pastor Bill White, on the occasion of 2016 Congressional Memorial Day service. Now, therefore, be it resolved, that's some official stuff, that on behalf of the constituents of the 18th Congressional District of Texas, I take great pride in recognizing your service for the outstanding efforts you have displayed for our Memorial Day ceremony. The 2016 Congressional Memorial Day ceremony is designed to honor our veterans and our fallen heroes. Your dedication to the community is most deserving of the respect, admiration, and commendation of the United States Congress. Signed, Sheila Jackson Lee, member of Congress. Got the seal and everything. Wow. Wow. Hannah was so jealous. She didn't talk to me for like a week. Oh, not only did I get to speak, but I got that to put on the wall. Of course, you know, I love my wife. I downplayed it. Oh, it means nothing. No, no. But secretly, I'm like, man, that was amazing. That felt so good. That was really cool. Now, if only I was worried about the acceptance and love and worried about the attention that I was getting from my Heavenly Father in the same way. If only, what could I achieve? What could I do? Remember, it's from, remember who it's from and who it's for. Because I could let this stuff very easily, because that, I mean, that's pretty much 1,000 followers, I feel like, right there, instant, you know. I got the congresswoman's cell phone number, you know, I can call her, she calls me directly and all this stuff, and it's amazing, it's really cool to have that relationship. If I let it get to my head, I could end up at all the political things, spouting off all the political stuff, and, you know, and but I say no to a lot of those things. And there's a reason for that, because it's not about me, what I think, it's about who gave me the opportunity for that, who gave me the chance to plant a church in the Heights, to have a vision that somebody could see on a website and go, we like this person, let's give them a shot. Because we're going to honor some brave men and women who gave their lives for us. We're going to give them an opportunity. It all, I have to remember who it comes from and who it's for. We can receive only what is given to us from heaven. So guys, work hard. Work hard. Hone your skills. Broaden your influence. Build your career. Build those businesses. Write great books. Please, write some great books. Be awesome at it. Move mountains. Change lives. Be teacher of the year. Be employee of the year. Take a deep breath and listen from the applause of heaven because of what you have done with the gifts that you have been given. Whose attention you are bringing it to? Who are you celebrating because of what you have done? We do it for the applause of our Heavenly Father. The applause of the one who knew you first, who knows you best, who gifted you and called you. In the end, that is the only applause that will ever matter. When it's all said and done, if we did our best with the gifts and opportunities he gave us and did our best to make him known, we can expect to hear from our Heavenly Father, you did it. You killed it. Way to go. We can only be there. So guys, I'm telling you today, stop trying to kill it. Be killing it. And kill it so you can give credit to the one who gave you the gifts. Don't let pride get in the way. And if you can do it good, and you can do it right, you can be infinite famous instead of insta-famous. You can carry out your life in a way that people will remember beyond your days. There's people that we can think of in history that because of their dedication, because they knew it wasn't about them, they are remembered. And that's the kind of known that you want. That's the appetite that will be satisfied. And it all comes down to one name. Making one person happy. Having one person say, I like you. And that's Jesus. Seek him. Seek his approval. And you will be infinite famous. All right, I'm going to pray. Don't run out. I'm going to have something to tell you about after we pray. But guys, listen to heaven so that you know that you have killed it. Lord, thank you so much for all of your teachings. Thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for his dedication, Lord, the suffering that he went through, the followers that he gained and released to follow Jesus. Thank you so much for all that he did. Lord, I know that John the Baptist is being blessed right now, and he should be. Lord, and just the same, the people here, Lord, I pray that we do not forget that who it comes from and who it is for, so that we can be infinitely famous with you. Here on earth, we make you famous, so after earth, when we die, we can be famous with you, Jesus. So help us kill the pride before it kills us. Lord, in Village Heights, I pray that it is never a place that is prideful. It's never a place that we seek for our own knownness, but only for the knownness of you. We gather followers, we gather people, we build our services so that we can get you followers and get you services and get people after you so that they can know you as well. So Lord, bless this church and bless these people and let your will be done with us. In the powerful, strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.